Day, Lord.
In a mini-series, Environment of Faith. And last week, if you were here, Environment of Faith, Love. And this week, talking about love, faith, hope, and love. Those three remain, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. And this morning, as I continue to study and prepare the Environment of Faith, in parentheses, hope. Now, I have to say a little disclaimer, but this is a good disclaimer, I think, is yesterday we came to prepare for today's, you know, sharing of a meal after church and setting up this big green baptismal that looks like it's for cattle, not people, or for sheep and not people. And then we get here, me and Richie, and there's no water in the building. And no, we're going to have a baptismal. No, in the past, I could go in where the well room is, and where the pressure switch was, I could kick it. I'm not kidding. I could kick it and kick on. But we had that fixed in the past, so I wouldn't have to kick it to turn on. And this time there was no kicking it. And so we were scrambling what to do. We called the well guy. And then we had Ken Kersop. Thank God he's here, because sometimes because of his job, he's not here, right? But you happen to be here, Ken. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so him being an electrician, right, or used to be an electrician, but anyway, he's still an electrician, just in a desk. So we were able to fix that. So we were here from 1 to 7, basically, and finally had the well guy here. And thank God Ken was here, because I think they were kind of taking old parts and trying to put them together. And so we finally got running water. Isn't that wonderful? And so all day doing that, and I didn't get to prepare my notes like I'd like to. And I thought, well, I'll have tomorrow morning to do that, right? And this morning I get a text saying we have no water. And so the parts that had been put in had failed. And so thank God Ken was able to find a way where we could bypass that part and have water to the building, because we need water. Amen. We need water, but we have to have a guy. So Pat Bates is back there because he has to turn off the well, the power to the well off and on, because we bypass something so the pressure can go up, and then you turn it off and then it'll go back down and turn it back on. But I knew, I said, there's no way we're gonna call this service off. We're gonna find a way on job sites to borrow porta potties, you know, in the name of the Lord. And then we were gonna get water here somehow. So we weren't gonna, I don't care what was gonna happen, we were not gonna cancel today's service. Amen. Because the kingdom of God is not about this building anyway. The kingdom of God is in us, in Jesus' name. And I'm not saying having a nice building or those things and being a person of excellence, there's anything wrong with that. But I knew when I first came to this church 13 years ago, and for some reason, I had come to the point in my life, and I'm not going here, but I come to a point in my life, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I did not care what the outside of the building looked like. I didn't care that the church was in an old strip mall. I just knew that when I came here, God had planted me here, and finally, I had yielded and said, God, whatever you want to do in my life, I yield to you. And through circumstances, things that God done in me and my wife's life here, led us here. And the Pastor Lee would say things like, well, I'm sorry about this or that, or sorry about that. At that time, this huge stain we had in the carpet. And I said, Pastor Lee, I never even noticed, because the kingdom of God is inside us. Living stones together is the church, right? So whether it's meeting on a public square or in a home where two or three are gathered together, there he's in our midst, amen? The power that we have inside us through the Holy Spirit, that people need to sense and see God's love for through you and I. Amen? Changing lives. That environment of faith. But this week, and we'll see how far I can get through. So I said all that I had these notes and points, and they look pretty jumbled this morning. And I know sometimes they can come out jumbled when I am preaching, but maybe when they're jumbled, they'll come out just perfect now. And I'll know from now on, just have those jumbled notes. And somehow God will help them to make sense. Amen. I want to say that I'm thankful for those who are going to get baptized. And baptism is just an outward, right, action of what God has done in us. I think of Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. and saying, Lord, my life belongs to you. Dead, you know, I become dead to just my own way. Doesn't mean that we don't have our own some pursuits and things that we love doing. I think religion can twist those things. I know it can. But what it's saying is saying, Lord, I know you're the way, the truth, and the life. And I know that everything I've tried in this world did not bring satisfaction. And then through somebody preaching to me the gospel or being a witness to me their lifestyle, something happened to her in your life, if you know Jesus Christ. She said, I want that. And then you gave your life to Jesus Christ. You confessed with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit came and take residence inside you, and God began to change your life. Amen? And everything after that was perfect. No. We'll talk about that. But what I'm saying is, if you're getting baptized today, we want to celebrate with you your confession as Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That you've given him your life. That you belong to him. There's nothing like belonging to him. Being in the shadow of the Almighty. Leaning on him. Trusting in him. Knowing that even in all my struggles, he is with me. He never leaves me and forsakes me. It's wonderful to have that God who loves us, who's with us. Amen? Amen? And then there's this thing called hope. Corinthians 13:13, you know that. But now faith, hope, and love remain. These three, how many? Three. But the greatest of these is love. And we talked about love last week. And so many of you know that scripture, Hebrews 11:1-2 as well, which is now faith. Say faith. Just I try to keep you awake. I know it's warm in here. Now faith is a certainty of what? Of things hoped for. It's a certainty of things hoped for. A proof of things not seen. For by it the people of old gained approval. Did you hear that? The people of old gained their acceptance by faith. And how do you and I today, how are we accepted in the beloved of Jesus Christ? By faith. That scripture says the just shall live by faith. Amen? By faith. So faith is a certainty of things hoped for. And so hope in the Greek, let me say this, means expect or confide. It actually means confidence. Hope is steady expectation of good from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Amen? That's what it says in James chapter 1. See, this hope is a steady expectation of good from God. Faith is in the present. Let me tell you. Faith is in the present. Faith is in the born-again spirit of man. To every man is given what? A measure of faith. Amen? I think everybody is born with faith, but there's those who don't come to Christ. It's never activated. But faith in the heart of every man, I believe, is a measure of faith. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And he wants to activate the faith in every human heart. Amen? So faith is in the present. Faith is in the born-again spirit of man. Romans 12:3 says this, each is given a measure of faith. So if hope is in the future, then hope comes out of that. Give me time to vet this out. Hope is in the mind. It's in renewing your mind. You say, Chad, where are you coming up with that? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Got to have scripture for stuff. Amen? But it says, but since we are of the day, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. You got that one, Bill? 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Okay, thank you. But since we are of the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of what? Faith and hope, the breastplate, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Because the thing is salvation isn't just the day, we're not just talking about the day that you die and you're ushered into heaven. Salvation means that, you know, the Holy Spirit has been deposited in me. That means that God has given me the right as his son and daughter to have access to wisdom. Amen. It means that God will lead and guide me. It means that God said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. So we know salvation is much more entailed than just getting my fire insurance, not going to hell, but going to heaven. Amen. We know that God's salvation is much more. It means peace in this lifetime, strength in this lifetime, his goodness in this lifetime, and it also means his hope in this lifetime. Not just hope for heaven, but hope in what God is doing in your life, in your family, in your community. Amen? God doing hope. So the exercising, I'm going to talk about the exercising of faith develops hope. The exercising of faith develops hope. You know, you can live 40 days without food. When I first read that, I thought it said 40 hours. Yeah. And then I had to read it again. It said 40 days. You can live 40 days without food. Wow. Only 3 days without water. But it is hard to live 1 day without hope. You are designed to have an ever-increasing hope. Not just this ever-increasing faith, an ever-increasing hope, an expectation. Hope is an expectation. Amen? Faith that you're walking, you give your life to Jesus, and you're growing in your faith, but there's a hope of what God's going to do tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, in your lifetime, and that is where hope comes to play. When people say, I've lost faith, what I really think they mean is I've lost hope. Because a lot of anything, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we have a generation of people today that have lost hope, don't understand hope. They have no hope for the future. If you're putting your eyes upon the school system, you would have no hope. If you put your eyes upon the government today, you would have no hope. If you turn on the news today and look at what's going on, you would end up having no hope. It would deplete your hope. Thank God I don't live my life about what's going on today in the government, although I'm praying and hoping and doing my part for things to change. As we the people, I have a hope for my country still. I have a hope for the young people still in America. I live in America, so I can only speak for the children and the young people of America. I have a hope that yet God is going to do a powerful work in our young people. He better or we're in trouble. As Ronald Reagan said, we are one generation away from losing all our freedoms. I used to hear that and kind of mock. Used to think, well, it'll be 2 or 3 generations. It'll be after I'm gone. But he was right. He says that it takes just one generation. The freedom of the church in America will come through the young people. It either will exist or it will not. It will not depend on me 20 years from now. It'll be on the young people that have grown up with their mindsets and what their hopes are. See, hopes will direct this country. If the hopes aren't based upon biblical foundations, then those hopes will be based upon false truths. Is there such thing as false truths? Or is that untruths? It's both, right? So people have lost hope. So let me just real quick through Romans. I love the book of Romans, and I love the book of the Romans chapter 4 and 5. Romans chapter 5, I'll go through these. It says, therefore having been justified by faith. Amen. Anybody in here been justified by faith? Amen. We have peace with God. Why? We're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into what? Into this grace. In which we stand. You're only going to stand by grace, by the way. God's goodness and love. You cannot stand on your own merits. You can't stand on your own righteousness. You can't stand on your own abilities. You have to stand on His grace through faith that He has washed and cleansed you of your sins. Amen? There's no other way to have your sins cleansed but through the blood of the Lamb. And we celebrate, it says, in hope of the glory of God. I mean, that's good news, Paul. That is good news. We're with that first verse 1 and 2. We're like, yeah, I love that. I'm getting stoked. I'm standing by grace through faith. And then verse 3 comes along. Verse 3 of that, he says, and not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations. And our knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And in the King James, that tribulations or that perseverance means patience. Have you ever noticed, and maybe sometimes it's just the type of personality, but it can have hard to be patient. Have patience. You ever know that? Patience with your children. Patience with your boss. Patient with your employees. Patience at the drive-up window. Whatever. Patience when you're staring into the microwave. Patience when you're watching soup boil. You ever done that? I'm waiting for this to boil. Celebrating our patience, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. See, perseverance is steady persistence in a course of actions, what it means. A purpose, a state, in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. You know, I love that when it talks about perseverance, it talks about that persistence, not giving up, in spite of difficulties. I found this theological definition of persistence or patience. It's this: continuance in a state of grace until the end. A continual trust in Him. A continuing trust in Him. Because the truth of the matter is, as we talk about this, persevering in patience, we can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our own flesh. And coming out of the business world, that was like everything had to be right now. Patience is not a part of the world's, really. It's not a definition. They like patience, right? We want everything now. And so, even in the middle of the world, understanding what patience and standing in tribulation. So, number one, if I get through some points, Mrs. Spurbrecker, she'll let me know. I'm glad she says you said number one twice, Chad. So was number one the second time actually number two? I said no, it was 1A. So let me say this. This mature thinking comes through persevering in the natural. It is no different in the spiritual. It is no different in the spiritual. There's no testimony, it seems, without a test. I love hearing people's testimonies about what God's brought them through. Hardships. Things that have taken place in their lives. And they told me, but I persevered. I didn't give up. And God brought me through that. So they learned to trust the Lord in that. And sometimes, what I love is, I feel like when I was younger, I was a person that didn't know how to persevere. First, I didn't know God's love for me. I knew nothing about His grace. I thought it was all performance. And so I would give up. And what I love as we get through this is Moses. There's people in the Bible that gave up many times. Moses gave up to the point that God did these miracles, a burning bush and a snake that turned into a staff turning into a snake. He'd given up hope so much that he said, send somebody else. He wasn't even impressed with the miracles of God because he'd given up hope, complete hope. Don't underestimate the power of hope as we get going here this morning for a few more minutes. Mature thinking comes through persevering in the natural. It is no different in the spiritual. There is no testimony without a test. And then the next thing it says in that verse 4, it says in perseverance, right? We talked about persevering, right? He said rejoice and persevere in your troubles. Number 2 says in perseverance produces character. Verse 4 says the first part of that, and perseverance proven character. You know, I like this word that I use. I like it. I think it's my own word, but I like it. It's called stick-to-itiveness. Stick-to-itiveness. Not giving up in the battle. You know, there's many reasons. Let me just say, you guys, that we can give up. We can be praying for our health. We can have struggles, health issues. You could have a struggle in your marriage right now, on the job. You're trying to learn a skill. And what it comes is, or trying to follow through, you know, following through your word, it can be a struggle when you're going through that. But let me tell you, as you are waiting here, God is a healer. God is the healer, but I can tell you, as you continue to trust him, whatever situation you're in, say, I know you can heal me, I know you lead me, I know you guide me, I know you bless my marriage, all these things. But I can tell you that as you are standing upon his word, character is being built in your life. It's called stick-to-itiveness. Character is being built in your life. I say, I know some of you that are similar to me that are waiting on some things, the promises of the Word of God. We'll talk a little bit more about that, that you've got some health issues that you know God can heal, and yet, and I don't blame you because I have the same thing in my heart and mind. It's easy to say, why? Why did that happen? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? I think of different people. I think of Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle, I believe, in the New Testament, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and the things that were coming against him. I know he was saying, why? Why? And of course, this is a little bit off track, but what did God say to him? My grace is sufficient for you. In weakness, my power is perfected. In weakness, my power is perfected. Meaning, even in those things that we're struggling with, trusting him, saying, thank you, Jesus, I know you're the healer. Lord, I thank you for those children, those grandchildren. Lord, I thank you for the situation. I know you are the God that healeth thee. I know the scripture says that you and your household shall be saved. And it's amazing, as I continue to stand on these things for my own life and pray and not give up, me and my wife will be in a time of prayer, and the Lord will give us a word. He'll speak to our heart and say, he'll give me a picture. He'll give me a word, and it's like, we're not giving up. Thank you, Lord. And that sustains us. That sustains us. Hope begins to spring up in our hearts. And so this perseverance, I'm telling you, in the different things of our lives, gives proven character. Because that's what it says, and perseverance, proven character. That stick-to-itiveness. So, you know, I don't want to be one of those people that says, you know, because this is what I wrote down. Some people spend a lifetime depending on their gifting, but never building their character. There's no promotion in the kingdom, or even really in the natural, without the building of character. So they don't let you see the real them. They're always bragging about this or bragging about that. You can almost see the facade. And I'm not saying they're not born again. I'm not saying they're false prophets or whatever. But there's something that the weaknesses can't be revealed to anybody. They have a heart that I can't allow people to see that weakness in my life. In the meantime, there's a battle raging inside that never gets dealt with. It always stays perpetual in that situation. They're right where they're stuck where they're at because they're not letting their character, letting them, who they are, come forth. And allowing God to bring them through whatever that struggle is. You know, in the house of God, we shouldn't have to pretend to be anybody. Amen? We shouldn't have to put a facade on. We shouldn't have to pretend to be somebody. We should be able to be who we are, right? Kind, loving, gentle, sincere people. Praying for those around you. But some people never, their character, they can't have any struggles in their life. They always have to pretend everything is perfect. I'm telling you that those struggles in your half are producing strong character. That's what the Word of God says here. So they you see the gifting. You can do it. You can see through that as you become mature, as you grow, you can see right through that when somebody's just putting a facade on. Well, how God loves. I don't. When you see that, you don't even need to have a spiritual gift. Just the maturity in you sees right through that act. It's a perfect time to pray for people. It's a perfect time that they would open up, allow God to be vulnerable, allow God to touch them and lead them, guide them. It's okay to have struggles. It just shows that you're growing in the Lord. It's showing that God is doing work in your life. We don't have to pretend to be anybody. Amen? Amen. Isn't that awesome? Being free from that one thing can bring liberty. I said it many times when I realized I didn't have to have a facade or pretend to be somebody or couldn't be around certain people. I told you the first time I came to this church and I was sitting next to a guy that had just rolled out of bed with his clothes. I'm sure he slept in those clothes. I know he didn't comb his hair. I know he hadn't bathed in some time. And I said to myself, where am I? What am I doing here? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Chad, what kind of people were around me when I was on the earth? Who is around me? Be willing to be vulnerable. How the ones that came to Jesus were the least. Amen. They were the struggling, the addicted, the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the bottom of the barrel. Amen. And right then is when I realized, Lord, I can be vulnerable. And all that time I've been in lockdown, in these character issues, in lockdown, pretending to be somebody that I wasn't. I tell you, much of the world does that. And if we're not careful, much of the church does that. Pretending to be somebody they're not. Afraid to be vulnerable. Afraid to be who they really are. How do I know? Because I was one of them. But oh man, now I'm not. Amen. You see, Joseph in the Bible went from bragging about the dreams God gave him. Hey, I saw you guys bowing down to me in my dreams. Didn't he do that? I saw you guys serving me. I saw God showed me these things. And then look at the struggles, you know, and every bit of struggle that he went through. Let me tell you, he was sold into slavery. You and I live in a world where people are enslaved. Amen. They don't know the Lord. And even when he was in that world system of slavery, he was walking with God, growing in God. His character was being refined. His character was being strengthened. Even so, you and I, even being in a world where people around us are in bondage, they're enslaved by the god of this world, Satan. You and I, amen, even in the middle of that are a blessing. We're blessed. God's hands upon us. He leads and guides us. No matter the struggles around us, no matter what people bring against us, man, we belong to him. He could have given. What if he'd said, man, God, if you were with me, why am I here? He could have just given up, couldn't he? I'm not in for this. But when he didn't give up, even in the middle of every in slavery around him, and then even being in jail, and I take that as every people that don't know the Lord, they're in jail. I work in a world, I'm constantly reminded how enslaved people are, how imprisoned they are if you're in the marketplace, people around you that need the Lord Jesus. And what did Joseph do? He continued to trust God. He continued to trust God to the point that the next time he saw his brothers, instead of saying, I told you you'd be bowing, sucka. I think that's a word in Hebrew, but I'm not sure. No, what did he do when he saw his brothers? He had to leave the room because he was weeping. He was weeping. See, he didn't give up in his struggle. And his character became stronger and 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 stronger. That all of a sudden God opens a door, and next thing he knows, he's number two in power in all of Egypt. But see, his character had to go. Those things that faced him, that the enemy brought against him, he couldn't step back. He said, Lord, I know you're going to deliver me out of these. Lord, I'm not going to give up or give in. Here's the thing. No matter what you're facing right now, don't give up. But see, because as God brings you through each victory, things, and he'll bring you victory. His victory is our victory. As those things that you're facing, as you don't give up and give in, and you keep saying, God, I belong to you, I am not going to give in to the hopelessness. And the thing is, as you see God bringing you victory in those little areas, all of a sudden hope begins to spring up. All of a sudden you start seeing victories in your life, and hope begins to light up, begins to grow. The things that you start seeing God's victory in your life, and you start seeing God's victories in others' life, and what is the result of that? Hope begins to spring up. Hope begins to spring up. And as you don't give up, and God brings you victory over the next thing that you face, and then hope begins to swell up even more. And the next thing you know, it doesn't matter what you see in the natural. You say, I have a great hope that God is going to bring this situation a victory in my life or my family's life, because I have great hope. I've seen it do it before in a little victory, and then a little bit bigger victory, and this victory, and that victory, and now the hope in my heart is springed up that I know that he can do anything that his word says he can do. And anything that he puts in my heart, I know he can do, because I've seen him do it before. I know he'll do it again. Amen. So walking by faith in his love for you, as we talked about next week, as you're walking, hope begins to build. That helmet of us of hope, that helmet of hope and salvation. As God is always faithful, God is faithful. My whole thing is whatever is going on, don't give up or don't give in. The enemy will say, if God is for you, if God is with you, why is this happening? Tell the enemy to shut his mouth in Jesus' name and say, I don't know how, but he's going to bring a victory here. I don't know how this healing's going to happen, but I know he's going to heal me. I don't know how this situation has changed, but I have a great hope in my inner man, in my inner being, that has been growing and growing and growing, and I know that he is going to bring about a great victory. Amen. James 1, 2, and 4. We're going to finish on time. Amen. James 1, 2 through 4. You know what it says. Just another scripture. Consider all joy. Say all joy. My brothers and sisters. So is he talking to the world? No, he's talking to the church. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. And we read when endurance produces hope. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Well, that perfect is mature. See, there's a lot of things that you and I, as God begins to you were walking with him and hope begins to build in faith, there's a lot of things that God has for us. But some of those things are going to require just maturity. Like we've mentioned before, at 12 years old, mom wouldn't give me the keys to the car. But I was mature enough. I'm sure I was. I think there's many keys in areas of our lives that God is saying, trust me, don't give up. Those keys are there. But let hope spring up. Don't give up. Don't become discouraged in well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Has nothing to do with your salvation. Has nothing to do belonging with the Lord. But it has everything to do with saying, Lord, I'm going to let these things that I'm facing, I'm going to allow these things not only to propel me, but to grow me into what you have. The key to that one door. But you can't have the key to the tractor when you can't even ride a bicycle. That's not being rude. So maturing in the Lord allows God to open up new doors. Amen. Sometimes we'll talk about people wanting wealth. But you ever seen what wealth does to people who can't handle wealth? I think God would love to bless all his children, not just because of tithing and all that, but he knows everything. He knows that money would destroy a lot of people. It's just true. See, people win a big lottery, it can destroy their lives. Amen? But if you grow into it, mature into it, being good with a little bit of money and being good with a little bit more money and a little bit more money, and then the Lord can, you are mature enough for God to trust you with greater wealth. Or God to trust you with greater responsibility. Or God to trust you with whatever he has in your life. Amen? That's what it does. And as that springs up, don't give up hope. If you're saying, I don't have hope, say, this is what you do. Say, Lord, I'm not giving up in this situation. And hope is going to spring up from my heart. Hope is going to spring up. All of a sudden, hope is going to be something that you'll be reading his word, and hope is all of a sudden going to arise in your memory bank. You won't give up. Amen? As the worship team comes. Do you love them this morning? I wanted to say, it said, and that proven character produces hope. So I'm going to just read a few scriptures. Bill, you don't have to put them up. Psalms 34, 4 and 5, if you want to write it down. Psalms 34, 4 and 5. I sought the Lord and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. Amen? They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. Psalms 103, 13 and 14. Just as a father has compassion on his children, listen, this is awesome. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. My fear is I trust him. I know you're the only way. I'm not going to allow I'm not going to allow myself to be deceived by lying voices of the enemy. Because it says here, for he himself knows our form. He is mindful that we are nothing but dust. Our flesh gets weak. Right? Our flesh can get weak. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew, right, their strength. A few more. Let me tell you, hope does not disappoint. Verse 5 of Romans 1:5, and it says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And God is not a man that he should die. Let me say a few more things. You know what? When people struggle with hope, I'm going to just say this. God is not the author of your troubles. That's the biggest lie of the enemy, that God is doing this to you. He's not the author of troubles. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble.
Yes.
But be of good cheer. Amen. He said, I have overcome the world. God is not the author of your troubles. It's the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The enemy wants to think that your struggles or everything going on in the world, he's the author of. No, Satan is the author of those. Satan is the author of all sickness. Satan is the author of all poverty. God, he wants to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. God is not the author of your troubles. Let me say that God will forgive you of your past. You simply need to ask him, Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name. People will be locked down. The enemy will keep them in lockdown. They have no hope because they think the enemy brought those things against them. They'll have no hope because of their past. Man, the past is powerful. But Jesus wants you to, of your past or others' past against you, he wants you to walk in forgiveness. He wants you to walk in hope. Things that have happened, I have no hope because of what happened to me a certain time frame ago, whether it be years ago or recently. He is not the author of those things, but he does want to heal your heart. He does want to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and he wants you to walk in great hope. Ask him to forgive you in Jesus' name. The other point here, pursue his unmerited favor, grace. Do not give up, even in your struggles. I've said it over and over again, but this is what we have to tell each other over and over and over again. In your struggles, do not give up. In your struggles, know that you still belong to him. Dare to believe in your struggles, if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, that you still belong to him. You either belong to him or you don't. But if it says the just shall live by faith, one thing I've found out is very powerful, even in my struggles, if I believe that I belong to him 100%, it's amazing how some of those things will begin to break off of me. Those things will become to break off of me because I am rooted and grounded in his love for me. Isn't that good news? Next thing, trust him day by day. Be around other good believers that love the Lord Jesus. Be a part of a good church, a good group, and pursue the God of the Bible. There is no other book where there is found life. The Bible is God's living word. There's no other book where you can find life. It says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? The word of God is what changes lives. And it's amazing. People will look everywhere, but to his word. The word of God is living. It's powerful. It's active. Being around others with hope is contagious. Amen?
Yes.
naysayers, or those that don't have hope, it'll drag you down. Being around other believers in a group or a church in the Word of God, which is electronic. I don't know what your Word of God looks like. Here's my Bible. You might have a paper Bible still, amen? But I'm telling you that it's the foolish things that confound the wise. It's amazing to me that the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, transforms lives. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to have hope, it's saying, Lord Jesus, I believe you're God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again. I believe you're God. I believe you're coming again. He is coming again. And then it's saying, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Say, Lord Jesus, say it out loud with me. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. His Spirit will come and live in you. You'll become the temple of God. And then you'll begin to grow in Him. And the things that you have faith in now, I'm telling you, when we don't give up or give in, I've come to realize there's no telling what the possibilities, and it's all rooted and grounded in hope. In hope. Would you stand up with me? Lord, we thank you for hope in this house. Lord Jesus, I thank you for hope in this house. Lord, I declare and speak hope over families in Jesus' name. Like I said, you can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water. But let me ask you, how can you live without hope? How can you live without hope? God wants to put you on the path of having great hope. Amen. He wants to put you on the path of great hope. I'm going to do something because I'm praying for myself, and I'm starting to believe more and more in just being radical. If you're one a person that says, I need more hope, would you raise your hand? I'm going to raise my hand. I'm okay with that. See, that's being vulnerable. That's being vulnerable. Lord, we thank you for right now, for Lord, for in our hearts, in our soul man, coming out of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, Father God. Lord, to the things that we are struggling with, Lord, I pray for great hope arising. Father, I know that addiction, Father, comes from having no hope. Lord, the things I was talking about, that people are bound in addictions because they have no hope. People have suicidal thoughts because they have no hope. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for, by the Holy Spirit, by the seed of the Word of God, Father, beginning to bring alive hope within our hearts, within our soul, man. Lord, I ask that, Lord, within our minds, renewing of our mind by the Word of God, by the truth of God, that hope would begin to rise up in individuals' lives, Father God. I pray that people that have no hope would become people of great hope. And Lord, I thank you that you love taking the weak things of this world and confounding the wise, Father God. So us that have been weak in those areas, I thank you, Father, for being us individuals of great hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father God, speaking to individuals through the week, Father God, about saying, Lord, thank you for bringing hope right where I'm at in this day, in this hour, in my situation. So we speak it and we declare it in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, Father. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. There's bathrooms. If you go out the doors and head, serve food. And right before we eat.